For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey guys, welcome to Attempting Fatherhood on the Bleave Podcast Network. I'm Bradley Hasemeyer, and this is the podcast for all us dads out there just trying our best. And a very, very special welcome to you guys. This is the first episode of the first season. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's here. Look, I've been attempting fatherhood for a while now, and it's finally happening. Over the past few months, it's been logo design and working with the podcast producers and lining up guests and websites, all that kind of stuff. But it's all been worth it. And truth be told, I've already recorded some of these episodes with my guests, and I'm so excited to share these awesome conversations with you. I know personally, I've learned so much already. And of course, the whole point here isn't to teach you how to parent, but just to find out how are other dads doing it? How are other guys making it work? You know, I talk to my guests and ask them, how do they define fatherhood? What's maybe something from their dad that they learned that they're implementing in their family? And what's something they feel like they don't want as a part of their family? So we get some real, honest, vulnerable conversations, and I couldn't be happier and I couldn't be prouder. Also, a special shout out to Byrd, B-Y-R-D. They're a SoCal-based lifestyle brand. They make body wash and shampoo and conditioner and face wash and hair products, all that kind of stuff. They found out about the podcast and were excited to come on board as a sponsor, and I've been using their products for almost a year, and I love them. So I was really happy that I found somebody who wanted to partner with me, but also actually believe in their product. I was equally as excited to have them on board, and more about them later. But for now, let's get to the show. My first guest, Jared Cotter. Now, Jared's one of these dudes who you know him, and you may not know that you know him. He's a music executive. He's a singer. He was on American Idol at one point. He was a VJ, right? Like a video DJ, hosted some radio shows and TV shows. And he's been all over the place. I met him back in 2016, I believe. I was hosting a show. I was leaving. We were all moving to New York. He was coming in to be an addition to the show. And the second he walked in the studio, everybody just like, whew, because this dude is just like dripping in charisma and charm. He's the nicest guy you'll meet. He's just so, so kind. We get into some great stuff about race, but also about, you know, how his dad was with him, what it's like being a music manager, managing these huge names like Bozzy and Kiana Lede. And it's okay that you don't know those names because you're probably an old dad like me, but it's okay because those artists have millions of followers. They don't need your click. It's fine. They're doing fine. It's okay. But you really should check them out because their music's hot. Is that what the kids say? Music's hot? I'm going to go with that. And Jared mixes this world of fully devoted father with kind of freelance entrepreneurial element of, you know, blurring those boundaries between like, I'm on the clock, I'm off the clock. So he brings all of that to the table in this conversation. Couple of quick dad stats. He's been married for just a few months. How about that? Yeah, he's actually his now wife, he's been with for a bunch of years, but he's only been officially married. They talk about trying to get married during Corona, and it's an awesome story about just going with the flow, right? That's what we do as dads so often. He also has a 5-year-old son named Cameron, and we get into how Crayola crayons impact how he's talking to his son about this, and it's just awesome. We just had such a fun conversation. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the first episode of the first season of Attempting Fatherhood and my guest, Jared Cotter. The way I should introduce you is like old school Bulls theme music, like 6'2" out of Long Island, New York. Jared Cotter. Lights are going. Like music's that. Playing. That's how I'm going to do it, I think.
The Bulls theme song.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like there's that. Only a certain age group of person who gets hype by that song.
Yo, get pumped. So I'm with it. Yeah, 6'4" though from Long Island, not just 6'2".
6'4"?
Yes.
Come on, you gained 2 inches. It's because you were so far down the island, I couldn't see. Dude, first off, thank you so much for being here. You're a crazy busy dude, and I really appreciate you taking the time. It says a lot about you as a dad, and just as a man who wants to be involved with something like this. So I got to start off by saying thanks.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for thinking of me, and I'm glad you're doing this. It's great.
All right, so let's get things started with dad stats.
Okay, I'm a dad of one. I have a 5-year-old son. I've been married for 5 months.
And That's so awesome. I love it.
It's amazing. And one word to describe my kid is awesome.
Awesome.
Just awesome.
I love it.
Yeah. His name is Cameron. Yep.
All right. How would Cameron describe himself in one word? Because he is quite the dude. So I'm curious what he would say.
He'd probably say he was kid Hot Wheels.
Kid Hot Wheels. Yeah. Please copyright that as a DJ name. Yo, next up on the stage, Kid Hot Wheels. Boom, brr, 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 dropping hot tracks. The tracks are as hot as his wheels. I think that could be great.
Perfect. Yeah, he'd love that.
Yeah.
He'd love that.
You got married a little bit late, but you were with Melanie, your wife, for how long?
We're going on 8 years now.
Yeah. 8 years.
Yeah.
So why get married? Why wait? What was the thought kind of behind that?
We, in our hearts, we were always just committed, and we didn't really care about the piece of paper for a while. That whole thing wasn't the important part. We knew who we are to each other in our hearts. But as we started to progress in our relationship, we had a baby. It became more apparent that the ceremony was important to us, especially making that commitment to our families and be like, hey, no, this is the real thing. It was important to her parents. It was important to my parents, and it was important to us. So, we finally decided to do it. And, after 3 tries during this COVID era,
3 tries.
Yeah, we had 3 different dates that just kept getting pushed back. Our first date was actually going to be in June in Italy of 2019, I guess it was 2020. And you don't even know what year it is anymore.
I don't even know, man. I don't even know. Yeah, totally.
And we were going to get married in Italy, but if you remember, Italy was like the first country,
yes,
that, it kind of blew up in. So we were like, well, we can't do that. And then we rescheduled a couple more times, found a place here in California, in Malibu, that was beautiful. But it just didn't work out. And, we started to get towards the end of the year and we were like, we've always been kind of unconventional anyway. Our love story is unconventional. Why don't we get married unconventionally? And we did. We had like this amazing, wedding where we just went to the local like chapel here, and did it. And it was fantastic. We put it up online, people loved it.
Tell me a little bit about what you do as far as for work, because I know you're a producer. You're obviously super talented as a singer yourself. You were a host on a show that I was on. I mean, you're all over the place. So what does the IRS think you do, I guess, is the question.
Man, they that's a good question.
They don't even know.
They don't know.
Import, export business,
that's
baby.
That's it. We met because I was a songwriter at the time, to add another slash to that.
Yeah.
And BMI, which is like this organization that collects royalties and also puts people together, was doing this trip on an island called Beckway. And it was a trip that we were both slated to be on. And that's where we knew each other before then, but it was really time to have concentrated time with each other. And we kind of fell in love on the island, and that's where it started for us.
You guys both just light up the room. I remember, having met her, and at the time Cameron was like months, a year. Yeah. So, I mean, he was very young.
Yeah.
And just especially her presence, just as she came into the studio, everyone just turned, and she's just, you could tell by her eyes, she's just so gracious and generous. And,
oh man, thank you.
And I thought you guys were just such a cool pair.
Thank you, man. Yeah. She's amazing. She's brilliant, she's also She does things like this all the time about motherhood. And that's why I think, you know, it's great what you're doing, because as we discussed offline, there's not a lot of outlets like this for dads, you know? So I'm really, really excited to be a part of this.
Absolutely. And let's use that as kind of a segue right into fatherhood. Yeah. I mean, you know, what is your definition of fatherhood?
Man, it's love and support. You know, I think, I just watched, it's funny, my wife just sent me something that Dwayne Wade actually was talking about. You know, his daughter, Zaya, who's a trans person. I'm still learning myself.
Likewise.
So yeah. I don't want to get anything wrong, but you know, being an athlete, which is all about being macho and obviously being brought up a certain way that men, you know, don't cry, you know, be a manly man. And here his son at the time comes up to him at 8 years old and says, "Dad, I'm gay. And not only am I gay, but I'm also, you know, transgendered." And you know, at that moment, he said he really had to check himself. Like, you know, am I here because of what, you know, what was taught to me, what was ingrained and you know, squashed into my head, into my psyche for all those years, or am I here for my kid? You know, to love and support them. And you know, that's kind of what I try to do with Cameron. No matter what I want him to be, is actually that has nothing to do with who he actually is. He's going to be who he's going to be. And my job is to just show him much love and to support him in all of that.
Now, when you guys were talking about let's have a kid, what was your vision of fatherhood? And is this it?
It's not what I expect. It's never, I don't think it's ever something that you can do. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was going to be. It changes your life for sure. And it's different. And you know, and it's frustrating and it's awesome and it's terrible and then it's amazing and you know, it's all those things.
Do you have a story that instantly sticks out to you, like WTF?
I didn't know how intimate with human feces that I was gonna be.
You become like a CSI operative. You're like, oh, let's inspect. Yeah. Is it soft? Yeah. Is it loose? Right. What's the color?
What's going on?
That is so funny.
What did he eat yesterday? You know, like, did he poo it all today? You know, like,
right.
You know, these are all things that you're worried about as a parent. That's one thing that I was like, wow, I didn't think that we were going to go there.
And it is so funny how the bar drops. Like, I feel like in my marriage too, stuff that I held to be kind of like a little taboo. You know, my wife's background is Southern California. I'm from the South. We don't talk about anything. She talks about too many things. So we come together and it kind of is this like happy medium, or is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But especially with kids, like gloves are off, you know, the honesty has to be there. You've got to communicate even on the stuff that's like, that's gross. I don't really do that. Was your relationship with your dad, like, was he really hands-on like that? Like, let's talk about poop, let's change diapers, let's get in it. Or was he more of a traditional, I say traditional in quotes, like he works and come home and mom does house stuff? What was that like?
Yeah, growing up, certainly my dad was the macho dad. You know, I'm going to go to work, I'm going to come home and eat dinner and, you know, I'll shoot hoops with you. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, that's dad, you know? So yeah, I don't know if my father changed the diaper. Probably not. And I'm going to admit, right before Cameron was born, you know, I was scared and I don't think I recognized it at the time as fear. But I, looking back, it was definitely fear. And I literally told Melanie, I said, "Babe, listen, you know, I'm here. I'm going to be here. But, you know, first couple of years, this is you.
This is gonna be touch and go.
This is you. You know, I'm not gonna really be changing diapers. It's not really my thing."
Hey dads, hang on just a second. Time for some real talk. All right, put your coffee down. Listen up. All right, if you're the kind of guy who uses your shampoo for your hair, your face, and your car, come on. I know who you are. And it's time to take a hard look at your life, all right? You probably are the guy that thinks the word grooming isn't really your cup of tea, all right? Fine. But if you're 30 years or older, your skin, hair, and face don't really care what's your cup of tea or not, all right? It's time to start caring. That's where Bird comes in. The team at Bird has made some awesome products, ranging from shampoo to face wash to different types of pomade, all to help you look good and feel good and therefore be good. And I was super excited when they said they wanted to support our podcast. So they are offering all of the listeners, including myself, 15% off by using the code BIRDAF. That's for Attempting Fatherhood. I'll put the link in the podcast notes just to make it easy. But there you go. It's awesome because that purchase supports our show directly. And you get a great deal and you make your life a little bit better. Huh? I think it's a good deal. Okay. Now, back to the show. So what changed for you? Was it just like Melanie being like, yeah, that's funny because you will be? Or was it something in yourself that was like really drawn to this thing all of a sudden?
I think non-pregnant Melanie would have smacked me and be like, hey, really, really?
All yeah, right. Yeah.
But pregnant Melanie, you know, it was, you know, she's more sensitive, more hormones jumping on her. And, you know, she was like, okay, she cried. But what changed was the second he was born was the change. And I saw him and I saw her, what she went through. I mean, I don't know if we're going to talk about that, but that is some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pregnancy is ridiculous.
That is something crazy. I know pregnancy is one thing. Actually having the baby is another, you know, like the delivery is another. And seeing her go through that, you know, women are super women, you know, that's
super,
you know, we leave the super off all the time, but they should just always be called super women.
Yeah. There are men and super women. Yeah. Those are the genders.
That's it.
That's just it.
And once I saw that, I was like, damn, I got to step up, you know? Naturally I was the first one to change his diaper and probably the first 10 diapers. And you know, seeing Melanie, who, you know, who's in bed and after going through that type of trauma, you know, you, as a man, you just step up, and I did that and have been doing it, you know, since the day he was born.
I think it's really insightful that you would notice, maybe only in hindsight, but at the time, that was fear rather than maybe machismo. It you know, manifested itself a little bit like, this is not going to be my role. You know, I'm going to love the kid, but I'm not going to do these things. But the reality was, I'm so afraid. I have no idea what to expect. I don't know what I'm getting into. You know, I grew up in the South. All my friends got married at like 20, 21. They had kids way before me. And so by the time I'm in my 30s and I have a kid, most everybody else is like talking about middle school and high school and stuff like that. So I felt like I was kind of left behind from, you know, people giving me tips and advice and all that. So I really felt like on an island a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And there are so many great resources. It's just at the time, I didn't even know where to turn. I was just like, I guess we'll just take this as it goes. And in those first few months, I too confessed to my wife. I told Kirsten, like, listen, I'm not saying we made a mistake, but this is not what I thought I was signing up for.
Yeah.
Every night we're waking up and feeding this thing that doesn't seem to even want to be awake. Like, it wants to keep sleeping and it's yelling at us and it's telling us no. And it is just this flesh thing in the other room that has totally destroyed my calendar and my schedule. And now I have no life and I'm, you know, lost. Yeah. And along the same lines, I'm going to be here, but I don't like this at all.
Right.
And that was like, no one told me that.
No one. Luckily for us and for our partners, you know, we changed our tune.
Do you have any fears as a dad?
You know, I think as dads, we're fearful in a way that's maybe that's a little unconscious. You know, it's not a conscious fear or an every minute fear. Certainly fearful. You know, when he goes out to the park, you know, I'm like, you know, and I'm not there because I'm literally in this chair working. It's like, okay, son, I'll see you later. But you know, we don't know what's going on out there when you're not with him or her. And that can be scary sometimes, but you can't live your life like that. You know, and you don't want to project that onto your kids either.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, kids smell fear because they have that fight or flight response even more so, I think, because they really need that heightened sense of safety for themselves. And I think kids really can tell that. So that's such a great point.
Yeah, man.
What is something from your dad that you're really integrating into your family, and what's something that you're going to kind of leave behind?
My dad was just always there. That's one thing I remember about my childhood. You know, no matter what, he was there. Every game, every practice. So that's one thing that I'll bring with me. The part that I'll probably leave behind is what we spoke about earlier is, you know, I think it, that's a, it's a generational thing. And I've spoken about that before, where our dads and, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but our dads, they're just of a different ilk, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And they learn from their dads who were really like, you know, I was talking to my father-in-law, and they weren't even in the room, you know, when their kids were born. You know, they were like, "Oh, okay, I'll see you when you get home," you know? And that, like,
that is such a good juxtaposition about what you just talked about before, which was like watching your wife go through this.
Yes. And I think if they had that opportunity, or, you know, that chance to see their wives go through that, one, newfound respect, right? You know, that they may have not had before. And also even more of a sense of responsibility to change that diaper, to, you know, do the airplane when you're feeding them, you know, those things that I don't think are necessarily, you know, what men do, but it is what men do, you know, in 2021, you know, and I'm thankful for that. There's a whole new connection that kids have with their dads today that I didn't, you know, and me and my father, that's like, my dad's one of my best friends. I love him, you know, but from a caring perspective, you know, I don't have that connection with him that, you know, that's okay. This is what I go to mom for. This is what I go to dad for, you know? And certainly I think Cameron has that. I think every kid is like, this is dad's job, you know, but I think today the lines are even more blurred.
I was going to say that. I thought you made a great point, because, you know, I too had kind of very clear roles of like who I go to for when I need what. And I feel like, at least with my wife, since we're both freelance, we're both home a lot. And, you know, I grew up cooking, ironing, you know, doing laundry. That was just a part of, like, you know, you're in charge of it. There's other people around the house. It's a busy life. So there's not really these majorly clear defined roles. There's certain things, but it does seem like there's a cultural shift in that balance of power being a little bit more equal than before. Is that kind of how you guys are as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if anything, she's the power. I'm just here. I'm just, you know. I'm
like, yeah, you're the support team.
I paid the mortgage. Great. You know, on some things, you know. So
right. Totally.
Yeah. Certainly, everything is equal. Everything.
Now, what's it like for Cameron to have someone like yourself in the music industry? Like, you know, sometimes I think about my daughter Ellis. She's insanely talented. She's got a great voice. She's just so creative and all this. And when I was a kid, no one said, "Hey, Bradley, you seem to have a lot of talent. You're a funny guy. You should think about stand-up comedy, or you should think about entertainment." And then on top of that, there was no one to show me the ropes, usher me in, open doors. And I think now, I mean, my daughter at 7, almost 8, she would tell you that, has more of an understanding when she watches a movie of the idea of green screens,
yes,
production, actors, just because that's our world. And so I'm just curious, like, how involved does Cameron want to be in your music world? Not only your wife, but your job.
Yeah, he's very involved, and it's kind of all he knows. It's kind of all I knew growing up, that, you know, my father was also a musician, so, you know, he did have a 9-to-5, but he would come home and play the piano. And so music was always, you know, things that were in my life, and even more so with Cameron, because, you know, we'll be watching TV and maybe a Bozzy song will come on or in the background, or, you know, we'll be in a store and Bozzy or Kiana will come on and be, "Oh, that's Bozzy. That's Kiana." You know, and he's like, daddy does that. And then, you know, even more so, Melanie Fiona, my wife, being a two-time Grammy Award-winning singer, and we go to her concerts, and, you know, he's like, "Well, I'm gonna go up there," you know. And
isn't that crazy? Could you imagine? I mean, I love that your dad was a musician, but there's a vast difference between passion and profession.
Yeah.
And just that your kid is like, "That's my mom up on stage performing. No big deal."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's his life. You know, from when. I remember the first time we brought him to a Melanie show, I think he was 6 months, and he would literally just like start reaching out to her, And now he's like, Dad, is it my turn? Can I jump up on stage? And he'll literally run to the microphone.
So, is he going to get in the music industry? Is that something you guys are just like, we're open to it? Or are you kind of like, let's let you be a kid and then evolve into that? Or what's the thought there?
Totally open to it. I think right now we're just letting him be a kid at 5, but he's already expressed that he would love to be an actor. You know, if it's not music, which I think he'd be amazing at. He's a good looking kid and charismatic. And
yeah, he's a stunner. Look at his parents. Come on. Something else I wanted to talk about was race. That was something that we had kind of emailed a little bit about as well. You know, obviously there's heightened in the media, more coverage than before. We have a foster kind of ish daughter who's 25. She lives in LA. She's black. She's from South LA. I've learned so much from her and from her experience. And now we've adopted a black son. So, you know, I feel like more than ever, my antennas are up and my eyes are open.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I am here to learn. And so I'm very curious, you know, I've learned so much just from, you know, people on social media and from books that I've read and that kind of thing. But I'm just curious, you know, what your experience is, because it's different than mine on so many levels, race aside. But what does that look like for you guys in raising Cameron? What kind of conversations are you having, expectations, those kind of things?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I mean, just your acknowledgement that our experiences are different is like, obviously you get it, you know? And I think if we had that type of empathy for each other, we probably would be further along in this thing. I think we've certainly grown since our parents' time, you know, in all aspects of race relations and prejudices that they went through are not the same prejudices that I necessarily go through. And I think it'll be even less for Cameron. To not talk about it, to not acknowledge that there are young boys that look like him that don't have the same freedoms that even he does because of who his parents are is something that we discuss with him all the time. You know, this was the kind of the first year where he understood that people may judge him differently because of his skin color, I'll say. You know, so we started teaching him about, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X this year. And I honestly, I don't know if he quite understands it just yet. You know, I mean, he's five.
I was still trying to figure out colors at age 5.
Yeah. And speaking of colors, we just got these Crayola crayon boxes that only have skin tones. And, you know, so you can color with each specific, I think it was like 80 skin tones that it comes with. And he's just starting to wrap around that, you know, his skin tone is darker than his friends, you know? And we speak about it. It's something that you need to do that, because unfortunately, you know, if when he's older, even at 10, even, you know, years old, there are kids all across our country that are being treated in a way that they shouldn't be because of the color of their skin. And he needs to be aware of that. So it's something that we do speak about to him about. And he's starting to get it.
You know, for me to really kind of start to wrap my head around the concept of, you know, white privilege from just a standpoint of, you know, I looked at it as almost like male privilege. This is how I explained it to my parents. And the concept was I could go running in college at 9 o'clock at night on my campus and not worry about anything.
Right.
I wouldn't let my sister go running at 9 o'clock at night on campus by herself, because that's a difference.
Right.
And all of a sudden you start to play that out and multiply that out. And you think, holy cow, I've been so outside of this need to recognize for my own experience. I should have been considering it from the experience of others, but because it wasn't a part of my daily experience, then it wasn't a part of my daily consideration.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, getting back to what you were talking about before, is like not living in fear. How do you go about talking about these kinds of things with your son in a, you know, a child appropriate way or age appropriate way, making them both savvy and sweet?
Yeah. Wow. He feels things that, you know, he's a very, very intuitive child. He feels things, and if it's not right, he knows it's not right. So, you know, I think we've given him the tools that are needed at 5 years old. And we'll continue to do that as he gets older. But, you know, he's definitely proud to be Black.
I love that. Yeah. And I love too, that there's, you know, things opening up, like you said, the crayons with different skin tones, like that's such a simple, subtle way that parents can kind of incorporate race talk.
You know, representation matters. You know, it's really true. When you see something that looks like you, or if something is available to you so that you can make it look like who you are, and you accept that within yourself. You know, a lot of times people, they don't realize it, but they don't like themselves because they don't see themselves. It's really important that companies like Crayola, I got to tip my hat to them for doing things like that, you know, and even, you know, I remember it was a big deal growing up when Barbie had made the first, Black doll. And it meant a lot to my family. I remember my younger cousin at the time, you know, she would call it, I want down hair, you know, but her hair grows this way, obviously, you know, so. You know, but to see that in a doll meant a lot to her.
I agree. And I think when it comes to representation, I've kind of equated it to when I thought, all right, I'm going to move to LA and be an actor. But I looked at my mom and she was a teacher. My dad was an engineer. And I was like, I did lots of research and reading biographies of other actors, anyone from the South or from not a coastal city who had no experience in acting, whose parents had quote unquote regular jobs. Yeah. And when I found those people, I was like, I can do it.
Yes.
At least I can give it an attempt. What's something that's kind of crept up as a dad that you've found surprisingly hard?
Cameron's best friend, like best friend, is moving back to New York.
Oh man.
And you know, Melanie and I, we were like dreading to have this conversation with him that he was going to leave. And, you know, because it was something that actually happened to my younger brother when we were growing up, and it messed with him emotionally. And, so, you know, we had this whole thing, we sat him down, we had the nanny there too. So there was like this circle of support, and, your friend, he's going to move away to New York, and you'll see him on Zoom and everything, but you know, he's not going to be here anymore. You're not going to see him at school. And he was like, okay. You know, it was like nothing.
Everyone's like, was that it?
That was it. He's like, I can see him on the computer. He's like, yeah. Right, okay, cool.
Yeah. All right, we're cool. Can I go back outside now? Right. Yeah, right. I guess you can.
Right. Yeah. You know, they're resilient people, and I think that's something that we forget too as parents, that they're people. Yeah, they're small people, they're young people, but just like, you know, I may be trying to figure something out that's work related or whatever, they're trying to figure out how to ride a bike. It's the same general concept. You know, we're all just trying to figure this thing out,
and I love it.
And if you can speak to them on a level that they understand, you know, without being Google Gaga, like we never spoke to Cameron like that. We've never,
same.
You know, you don't need to. This is a person. Speak to them.
I think I love that level of respect, you know, that you're giving to your kids. I think, you know, growing up, there was kind of a culture of like, you respect me. And I like that there's a little bit of balance. Like, yes, ultimately the buck stops with us.
Yes.
We say yes or no. But we respect her. We respect her wishes. We give Ellis opportunities to choose things. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's time to get dressed. These are your options, right? You can wear this or this or this. And adding those in there really is an empowering element to kids, even as young as five. That's vital to decision making and empowerment and feeling confident. So I love that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, I love that you guys are doing that. It's great, and it's, I think it moves them along faster too. You know, it develops their communication skills farther than if you're literally trying to baby them all the time. You know, this fatherhood thing, it's not for the weak, but
it's not, but I love the graces that come from it. Like there are times that I'm like, I'm about to break. I'm about to snap, you know, and then there's moments that like, that's it. I get pushed to the brink and it's like, I'm still okay. You know what I mean? What would be something you would say to encourage other fathers out there? Leave us with some encouragement.
You're going to get through it. You're going to be fine. Take a deep breath. That helps me. Like when I'm about to get too frustrated, you know, literally it works wonders.
It's going to be fun. I love that. Yeah. Well, Jared, thank you so much for your time, man. Thank you for attempting fatherhood.
Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it, man.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Attempting Fatherhood. My whole hope with this is that we build a community that encourages dads and that brings new information to the table and gets you excited about living your life, doing what you're doing. If you have felt that way, please make sure you rate us on Spotify, on Apple. Just rate us, give us some stars, hopefully 5, and make sure you share this. That's equally important. It's a great way to build community, to share this information with other dads, you know, start a text chain, whatever. That helps us, that helps you. We grow this community and all that. Thanks again for listening. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at Attempting Fatherhood. Again, thank you so much and have a great day.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.